It's Wednesday, February 18th. Here's what's happening in Northeast Indiana. An ICE detainee has died while in custody at the Miami Correctional Facility north of Kokomo. Lawmakers in the House and Senate have merged competing bills involving the consolidation of township governments. And crypto ATMs could soon be outlawed in Indiana as lawmakers are close to a final passage of a bill. I'm Brianna Barrow, and this is Who and What. An ICE detainee has died while in custody at the Miami Correctional Facility north of Kokomo. Samantha Horton has more.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement records show Lort Sim, a Cambodian national, is being held at Miami Correctional Facility. The 59-year-old was found unresponsive in a cell and pronounced dead shortly after 7 a.m. Monday morning, according to a congressional notification shared by immigration researcher Austin Coker. The cause of death is under investigation. Sim came to the U.S. as a refugee and became a lawful permanent resident in the 80s. In 2006, an immigration judge ordered his removal to Cambodia following several convictions. Sim was put under arrest and detained last December. His death marks the 7th this year and the first of an ICE detainee at Miami Correctional Facility. The Indiana prison started holding detainees last October as part of an agreement between the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the state of Indiana. I'm Samantha Horton in Indianapolis.
Lawmakers in the House and Senate have merged competing bills involving the consolidation of township governments. As WFYI's Ben Thorpe reports, legislators have tried for years to reduce township government and now seem poised to do that.
Supporters have long argued that townships present an added layer of bureaucracy and funding that taxpayers should not have to shoulder. Now, lawmakers are working to merge not just township government, but the legislative strategies for doing so. Senator Rick Niemeyer sponsored the Senate version of the bill, which has now been amended to include parts of the House version. That mandated mergers based on overlapping boundaries. His language would require townships that score points for poor performance to consolidate.
The bill is there for a good reason. You're not going to be able to stay out if you score 4 points or not. But I really appreciate all the hard work that was done on this bill over the weekend on both sides of the aisle.
The bill now heads to the full House. I'm Ben Thorpe at the State House.
Crypto ATMs could soon be outlawed in Indiana, as lawmakers are close to final passage of a bill. If approved, Indiana could be the first state to ban the machines. The ATMs, which are usually found in gas stations or convenience stores, allow individuals to buy, sell, or trade cryptocurrency with cash or a bank account. Law enforcement say the machines are linked to high amounts of fraud, especially for the elderly. If the bill reaches a final approval from the governor, the ban would take effect immediately. The well-being of children in Indiana has improved, according to an annual assessment. WFYI's Jill Sheridan reports.
The new Kids Count data examines youth outcomes, including health, education, economic, and family factors. Indiana's overall national ranking improved from 27th to 25th this year, with better outcomes in many areas. Indiana youth have historically lagged behind in health scores, but the latest assessment finds improvements. Indiana Youth Institute President Tammy Silverman points to new mental health metrics.
The number of kids who report persistently being sad or hopeless decreased, and it shifted in a good way by a significant margin.
The data book finds an improved education ranking from 17th to 11th and highlights a growth in reading and graduation rates. IYI will present the data in a series of events throughout the state. I'm Jill Sheridan.
John O'Connell, Dean of Purdue Fort Wayne's College of Visual and Performing Arts, is shaking up Shakespeare before his retirement in June with a clever farce opening Friday called The Taming of the Shrew, The March for the Vote. Here, WBOI's Julia Meek discusses the intricacies of directing this all-female play within a play with O'Connell and student actor Olivia Albertson.
John O'Connell, Olivia Albertson, welcome.
Hi, hello. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, PFW's upcoming theatrical production is a clever play within a play, and your own final act as Dean, John. How is all of this playing out for you about now?
Well, Julie, it's a dream come true for me. I saw this play in 2017 at the Chicago Shakespeare on the Pier, and I have wanted to do it. I've begged the department to do it ever since, and I said, I'm leaving. Y'all better step up.
And they did.
And they did, yes.
Would you give us a one-sentence setup?
A Shakespeare farce placed in 1919 with 13 incredible women that play multiple parts, including mostly men. As any good Shakespeare farce will do, yes.
Very, very good. Okay, June 14th, 1919.
Yeah.
That's the day of the suffragist vote. So It was a big day. And you're really staying true to the essence and the crazy silliness of a Shakespeare farce with all the twists and turns.
Absolutely. Taming of the Shrew is all about people taking on, you know, fake identities in order to trick the other people in the yes. story. So yeah, these women in a social club in downtown Chicago, they actually rehearse the entire Taming of the Shrew. So we see the entire Taming of the Shrew, plus we see the story, the evolution of these women towards their ideas about the suffragette vote. Because half the women in 1919 don't want the vote, and the younger characters in 1919 are thinking, I want to vote, yes. So there's a struggle between them in 1919 about that identity.
And a whole lot going on, including fun.
Including fun, yeah.
Now, your all-female cast includes some of the best talent from the school, of course, mm-hmm. of which you are certainly a part, Olivia.
Thank you.
Thank you. And the community. What does that do for your experience as a theater student that traditional student-only work can't?
Yeah, it's wonderful being able to work with community members. Watching them is amazing. I love seeing their abilities on stage. I mean, when they're on stage, you notice them. They own the stage. They make it all their own. But they also just have this humbleness about when you talk to them. They're mm-hmm. so inviting and welcoming. It's really nice to have that.
Good. Were there any surprises along the way?
There's some songs, Julia, and that was surprising and challenging.
It's like barbershop quartet.
It is. Four-part harmony with 13 women. A cappella, by the way.
Yeah. Musicals are my favorite, so when I learned that there was some music in this, I was actually kind of excited because I do love learning music.
Well, good. Now, relevancy. The doubly devilish plot, political mayhem, stylized Shakespeare. Exactly how does it speak to today's crazy mixed up turn of events, I'll call it, would you say?
Well, I would say one of the things that's happening outside their social club in downtown in Michigan Avenue is there's riots going on. Mm-hmm. Every time they open the door, you hear the women protesting, wanting to vote and having the right to be on the street to protest. And at one point, a riot broke out and they come in all disheveled and like, oh my, the city's coming apart. And so the relevancy is the fact that we talk about democracy. We talk about democracy being messy. And when the women were trying to get their vote, they were angry women. They yeah. wanted the right
and
to
things
vote.
Were messy.
And
yes.
things were messy. And that's the line that Nancy Cartwell has. Democracy is messy. And it always has been. And you have yeah. to fight for what you want in democracy.
Yeah. Protesting is one of the, you know, oldest, most traditional ways to
say
get
what
your
you
point
say.
Across.
To
yeah,
be heard.
Yeah.
yeah.
And, it's
and then
amazing.
As now,
yeah.
it's
yeah, mm-hmm. it's still a strong point that people take.
John O'Connell is Dean of Purdue-Fort Wayne's College of Visual and Performing Arts and Director of Taming of the Shrew, March for the Vote. Olivia Albertson, one of the student actors. Thanks for sharing your story. Good luck to both of you and many blessings.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julia, for having us. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much.
PFW's production opens this Friday. Find an extended version of this conversation at WBOI.org. More news in a moment.
My name is Jim Werenberg. I've been a listener and member of public radio for over 40 years. Public radio is important because it gives a broad and balanced view of the world and is a strong supporter of our local news. Please join me and countless others in protecting public radio. Learn how at WBOI.org/save.
Here's what to know for today. A push to shorten the number of early voting days in Indiana has been slipped into a bill as the legislative session nears its end. state lawmakers may stop the practice of limiting the number of rental houses in a neighborhood. And a commercial turkey flock in Sullivan County has been hit with a bird flu, the first case in southwestern Indiana in a year. That's Who and What for Wednesday, February 18th. These stories and more can be found at WBOI.org or on the WBOI app. Subscribe to Who and What on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can ask your smart speaker to play Who and What. If you enjoy this podcast, you'll also enjoy our newsletter Frequency at WBOI.org/frequency. Music for Who and What is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. From all of us at WBOI, thanks for being with us and have a great rest of your day.